listening to Real Life Radio's Living Witnesses with Mary Graham. Our guest today, we have Mary Beth Finster and Michelle Precaro in the studio as we continue to prepare our hearts, minds, bodies, and souls to make that big commitment. We're going to consecrate our lives to Jesus Christ through His Mother, through Our Lady. We are using the retreat materials that were designed by Father Michael Gately. It's called 33 Days to Morning Glory. If you do not have your copy of the materials yet, you can get them at 33daystomorningglory.com. That's 33daystomorningglory.com. It is so helpful to be able to go back and read the questions and jot down and journal in the retreat companion. I also want to remind you that if you're doing this with a small group, they have a DVD set that you can order. It's very affordable. So you can meet once a week and discuss your weekly readings, and they have little discussion questions that go along with it for the weekly meeting and the DVDs. You can get all of that at 33daystomorningglory.com. We are going to start today reading from the book, 33 Days to Morning Glory, a do-it-yourself retreat by Father Michael Gately. We're on day 27, which is on page 100 of the book. Mary Beth, can you start reading for us?
We just completed our three-day mini retreat with Mary, and we should have a clearer sense of Mary's maternal mediation. This motherly mediation is the key that unlocks the whole theology of Marian consecration. And now that we have this key, we're ready to learn exactly what John Paul means by Marian consecration, or as he usually refers to it, Marian entrustment. To begin, we need to go back to the foot of the cross. This is a great meditation, Mary, to just kind of sit, maybe close your eyes, except if you're driving, of course, but just to close your eyes if you're listening out there and just listen to these words that Jesus spoke. Woman, behold your son. With these words, Jesus is entrusting all of humanity to Mary's motherly care. He's making her the spiritual mother of all. And as we learned yesterday, Mary fully accepted this gift with burning love.
Wow. And next, Jesus speaks to John, the beloved disciple, who represents all of us, and says, behold, your mother. Jesus is now giving us a gift, the great gift of his mother as our spiritual mother. Do we accept this gift? Yes, at least we're trying to. Otherwise, we wouldn't be making this retreat. But how do we accept it? This is the crucial question. According to Pope John Paul, the following gospel text tells us how we are to accept Mary as our spiritual mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And that gospel is from John 19, verse 27. The Pope describes this action with one word, entrusting. We see an example of this in the person of John, who entrusted himself to Mary, who was herself entrusted to John by Christ, behold, your mother. John's entrusting of himself to Mary is his response to Christ's command from the cross. But it's not only that. It's also a response to Mary's burning love for us. Entrusting is a response to a person's love, and in particular to the love of a mother. John Paul goes on to describe the nature of disentrusting of oneself to Mary.
We're now going to read from Redemptoris Mater. Entrusting himself to Mary in a filial manner, the Christian, like the Apostle John, welcomes the Mother of Christ into his own home and brings her into everything that makes up his inner life. That is to say that his human and Christian eye, he took her into his own home. Thus, the Christian seeks to be taken into that maternal charity with which the Redeemer's mother cares for the brethren of her son, in whose birth and development she cooperates in the measures of the gift proper to each one through the power of Christ's Spirit. Thus also is exercised that motherhood in the Spirit which became Mary's role at the foot of the cross and in the upper room.
This entrusting of oneself to Mary, which the Pope beautifully describes as taking her into one's own home, should be understood as our following of Christ's own example. He first entrusted himself to Mary at the Annunciation and then throughout the hidden life, as is his will for his disciples. After all, he himself initiates such entrustment with the words, behold, your mother. But why do you think Christ does this? Is it that he wants to distance himself from us? No, he's bringing us closer to himself by giving us to the one who's closest to him, the same one who directs everything to him. Do whatever he tells you.
Mary wants to act upon all those who entrust themselves to her as children. And it is well known, says the Pope, that the more her children persevere and progress in this attitude, the nearer Mary leads them to the unsearchable riches of Christ. Again, this is both because of the unique closeness of Mary to Christ and because of her special role of bringing others into the intimacy she shares with him. Tomorrow, we'll see how this closeness of Mary to Christ, particularly in his consecration of himself for our sake, helps us make our own consecration to Christ. This is the whole purpose behind why we entrust ourselves to Mary. It's so she can bring us even closer to Christ through her powerful prayers and motherly love.
So today, the prayer that we will all be meditating upon all day is, Come Holy Spirit, living in Mary, prepare me to entrust myself completely to Mary so she can bring me closer to Christ. Amen.
It's kind of neat as we move along how each day it becomes a little more clear. If you started this retreat wondering, you know, this seems a little odd. Are we supposed to skip Jesus? Each day, I feel like a little bit more of the flower blooms and you can see the bigger picture. It's beautiful.
And isn't that the role of a mother, Mary, just to give us a little bit each day as we grow older as children? And you see it, just that divine pedagogy of just being more and more. And each time you do the consecration, more and more is revealed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's something so intimate about the reading today, about the idea of bringing each other into each other's homes. You know, there's like the home of our hearts is sort of how I see it, allowing Mary to come into our heart and just to think about, you know, what a private space your home is, and then translating it into, you know, the space of your heart and your mind and your thoughts. There's a beautiful consecration prayer that talks about, you know, just live in me, act in me, speak in me. And that it really is what today's reading is about, like really entering deeply into this relationship.
And we've mentioned it in other podcasts about just that reflection of actually putting yourself in the scene at the foot of the cross with John and Mary and Magdalene, and, you know, closing your eyes and imagining yourself there and the pain and what Mary must have been feeling like, but that as Jesus looked down and to hear your own name being called. And why is it sometimes we're so resistant to accepting this gift? I mean, we just don't comprehend it. It's such a mystery, the gift that Jesus gave to us with Mary, and as we'll, you know, or have read, that, you know, she didn't fully understand it either, and it wasn't until Calvary that she kind of got that full maturation.
And it's really been beautiful, the song that we've been playing this week for our buffer music. It is by Dee Simone. It's entitled Martyr's Crown, and it completely brings to that place. It's really beautiful how she's captured the foot of the cross in that song.
Well, I just feel good that we have just finished the mini retreat,
yes.
And now we've got, what, 2 days? I mean, phew, this has been such an amazing journey, and it, you know, there's definitely been days when you kind of lose track, and it's been just such a nice thing to be able to just, even if you've missed a couple days, to just be encouraged by the accountability, I suppose, of knowing that, you know, we're doing it together, and that even if I couldn't do it over the weekend, that I can catch up, and it's okay. You know, it's God understands, Mary understands that we have busy lives, and we'll get the message. It just may not be always the fullness of everything.
It is time we take a break. We will be back with the questions from the Retreat Companion. Our prayer for the week is the Magnificat, and I found a beautiful version of it. This is sung by Christy Knuckles. I found her on YouTube. Here she is singing the Magnificat on Real Life Radio's Living Witnesses.
My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in my Savior. He has seen the humble
It is time now that we get into our retreat companion on Real Life Radio's Living Witnesses. We are using 33 Days to Morning Glory, written by Father Michael Gately, and the retreat companion that's written by Carol R. Younger. You can get your copy of these materials at 33daystomorningglory.com. That's 33daystomorningglory.com. We are on day 27, which starts on page 105. Question number one reads, where does Jesus ask us to take Mary in? You live in a physical house that has certain characteristics. You have an inner house of heart and soul and prayer, and you have family relationships that are a sort of house in which you live. How will Mary enter more deeply into these houses through your upcoming consecration? By your consecration, you're inviting her to move into all of those places.
This really just sort of makes me think of what I began to say right after our reading, which is that this concept is bigger than just the physical space. So the question asks about your physical space that has certain characteristics. I think that part of the consecration would be, in terms of your physical home, having reminders of Our Lady, whether it's a little statue or other sacramentals. But then it also talks about the inner house of your heart. I think that one of the things for anyone making the consecration is really just starting with the basics, which is a daily rosary. Just asking Our Lady to, or reflecting rather on the mysteries of the life of Christ and how Our Lady is so closely tied to all of that. That would be, I think, a great place to start, and that's something that I think anyone making the consecration should make an effort to try to do.
And, you know, the parallel, of course, in this question between the physical and the spiritual is so vibrant for me because, you know, there is something universal. No matter where we are in whatever state of life, we all live somewhere and have a closet, hopefully, or have stuff that accumulates in your dwelling place. And those of us that live in probably America, our dwelling places are quite different than what maybe Mother Teresa has encountered. But these physical things that we have, you know, in order to make room for Mary, well, quite frankly, the Holy Family. We need the whole Holy Family in. I need Jesus inside the house. I need Mary. I need Joseph. I need just all our sisters and brothers of saints and everything else. But, you know, in order for me to do that, I think about cleaning my house, and everybody has to get stuff out, and there's different times of the year you tend to get spring fever, and with this clutter that we tend to keep, how can you fit and make room? And in order to invite Mary into our home, it does take, I mean, it strips me down because it makes me vulnerable, and it could seem kind of scary at first, but just being open and knowing that our mother knows our needs, knows exactly where I'm at as a daughter of God, all my imperfections, all my failings, and, you know, yes, like Pope Francis says when he was asked, I am a sinner. I'm okay with that. Like, he makes it cool to say that in the sense that I can articulate it out and be okay, and I don't have to feel bad about myself. It's just that I get back up, and with Mary in my home, in my closets, on my walls, everywhere, you know, you feel that presence and that reminder when we want to slip.
Mary Beth, I think that's a very good point, that we do need to clear the clutter out of our minds and our hearts and clear out the junk. Make room for her so she can fill our souls with her son. I think that's a great point. It also reminds me when we had the two Marian missionaries that joined us, Marcus and Adam. And Marcus prayed for his little brother using his authority as his older brother. And both of those young men attribute where Adam is at today through the intercession of his older brother's prayers. Within our households, we're all in a different place spiritually. But we have those that we have authority over, we can now entrust them to Mary. We can do it. We have that authority to do that. And she can help take care of things that maybe we're struggling with our spouse or with our younger brothers and sisters or with our children. And it's beautiful when you think about what she can do for us.
That really makes me think about the idea of that we discussed in the first week when we were afraid to give ourselves to Mary still. We had fear that if we gave her everything, that our loved ones maybe wouldn't be taken care of. And we kept being reminded that she's not outdone in generosity. And I sometimes, when I ask Mary for things, I then say to myself, wait a minute, can I do that? Do I have the authority to do that? So I'm so glad that you mentioned that, Mary, because sometimes I do that. I say, I entrust my sister or my little brothers and my nieces and nephews. And then I say, wait, can I do that?
Yes,
and I'm just always reminded, yeah, we can.
Question number two, Mary brings to us intimate communion with Jesus. She brings us into the hidden life. She lived in Nazareth with Jesus and Joseph. What did they talk about? How did they pray? What would you want to ask Joseph or Mary about how Jesus grew up? What made him laugh? What games he played? What chores he did? What insights might the answers give you into how you should act, work, and pray? Boy, my list of questions would go on and on and on. It'd take the rest of eternity to ask them all. Like, how old was he when he started talking and walking? Those little motherly things.
Well, and you don't have to be a theologian to actually unpack that question. You know, what did they talk about? And I've definitely heard commentaries about how they might have prayed, you know, with Mary knowing so much of the oral tradition of the scriptures, with that being the Old Testament. But I kind of just go with this question with just my everyday life. I mean, how did Jesus grow up? Well, he emptied himself and came in the form of a baby. We can relate to that if we've either been around children, have them in our home, maybe it's a family member that has a small child. You know, just that really brings forth what, you know, Jesus probably did. Of course, we've mentioned that he probably, you know, because he was sinless, he never got in trouble. So that kind of, you know, negates some of that. But, you know, we're sure that he worked in the carpenter field again with his father and learned that skill. And much of the hidden life, I know, is reflected on in many books and things like that. But it certainly guides us on how we should lead our life. And a lot of times my house is not that. It's so much the chaos that comes in, and going back to that first question, it's just whenever we have all the junk or too much stuff, you know, you get all this stuff in your house and then the chaos hits and then it becomes unsettling. And I see a very simple life. I think inviting Mary into our home and just how we would have seen Jesus act and play and all that, everything was simple. Simple.
And peaceful. Simple and peaceful.
And we know how Christ felt in the agony in the garden, but I wonder sometimes as a child growing up, knowing what was to come, what that must have been like, you know, and it asked, what might they have talked about? And was that a topic that ever came up around the dinner table? Like, this is something that is going to happen. That is just, it's all just such a mystery. All those 30 years were like, it's almost hard to think about because we don't know. And there's just so many possibilities.
Well, and as we were talking about the wedding feast of Cana earlier, certainly when you hear how Jesus said that, my hour is not here, it kind of makes you think, obviously they've discussed something. You know, they had an understanding among each other. You would think they had some type of understanding or conversation.
Yeah.
One thing that I would always wonder too is, as a mom, oftentimes your kids will say things and you'll just be dumbfounded. How can they know that? It just seems so wise beyond their years. Mary probably had that experience every single day. Every time he opened his mouth, was like, wow, it's impressive, son.
And you know what's funny is that in this question, hidden life is in quotes. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, you know, something happens and we always want to open our mouths and shouting about it is a good thing. But oftentimes I think back, like, does God just intend that for me to ponder? And maybe I'm excited about it, or it makes sense to me and how he's working in my life or whatever. And I'm not talking about, you know, maybe witnessing or anything like that, but just it's just knowing that time that, you know, we need to just take the time to ponder things. Mm-hmm. And we don't always have to be rushing around thinking that there's something happening at every single second. I just looked at that word, hidden life, is just, gosh, she was so quiet about it.
That's a very good point, Mary Beth. Really, she had to keep it quiet. She couldn't talk about these things. How many times do we feel like we need to go sit down with our girlfriend and just unload and share? Mary didn't have that opportunity. Perhaps she could discuss with her mother while her mother was alive. We don't really hear anything about her mom in the scriptures. It is time we take a break. We will be back with questions 3 and 4. I do want to remind everybody that Real Life Radio is a listener-supported radio station. That means we need your help. We'd love to have you be a part of our team. If you'd like to support this ministry, this broadcast, this podcast, several ways to do it. First of all, you can, if you're at the podcast site, you can go right to the Donate Now spot on our podcast page. Make your pledges there, your donations there. Or you can visit our Real Life Radio website. You can donate directly there. You can also participate in the Share to Care program. Visit it to learn more. That's realliferadio.com. We will be back with our Do-It-Yourself Retreat, written by Father Michael Gately and Carol R. Younger. 33 Days to Morning Glory on Real Life Radio's Living Witnesses.
My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in my Savior. He has seen the humble state of my heart.
Back to our retreat companion on question number 3. How do we take Mary into the physical house where we live? Does she affect the decor of our home? How you entertain guests? Does she affect how you dress, speak, and act towards others in your home? Write some new expectations for your home now that Mary lives here. I feel like the answer is yes, 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 and yes.
Everything with exclamation changes. Points.
Yes. Yes, it's funny. We actually met some new friends probably about 6-8 months ago. And I found out later that they had this conversation that they had walked into our home and they were Catholic. We didn't know what they were at the time and they didn't know what we were as far as our faith goes. But after leaving the house, the wife had said to the husband, "They're Catholic." Just from entering my home, because there's rosaries on the wall, there's crucifixes, we have statues of Mary. And I think it's important that our homes proclaim our faith. You should walk into somebody's home and see God present physically, because those are sacramentals. They remind us, they keep us centered on Christ throughout our days.
And I actually think it's a great way to just kind of quietly evangelize. We have a beautiful statue outside of our home with a spotlight on it. I mean, you know how you have the trees lit up and all that, but we don't. We just have Mary lit up. And it's just a beautiful reminder to anyone approaching our home that, yes, I am Catholic, and I'm proud to be Catholic. And again, this isn't something that I've done my whole life. I suppose when I was first decorating our home, I wasn't thinking of it. I think I did more of what my parents did, and I remember sacramentals being around the house, which is very much of the 60s and the 70s with our parents, with statues and things like that. But I've enjoyed it now, and I love the Divine Mercy image that Father Gately has through the Marian Fathers, and the cover of this book for 33 Days, the picture of Mary. And I've mentioned it before, I have both of them on the wall in our bedroom, and it's nice to wake up and just see those faces first thing, if it's light enough, and if it's not, you know, just getting a moment sometimes at the 3 o'clock hour, if I'm not picking up the kids, where I can take a moment to, you know, get on my knees, and you know, if I do get that luxury of praying the chaplet, being able to focus on the Divine Mercy image is wonderful.
You know, it's interesting because I kind of took this question a completely different direction. One of the first things I thought about, and I've shared on the other days that I've been able to be on the show, is that I haven't always been Catholic. I've actually only been Catholic for a few years. So when I my conversion really took a huge step forward, my whole house was transformed into a shrine of statues everywhere, images, rosaries in every room. And I was actually thinking about how humble Our Lady is and how she in fact might not so much enjoy all of that I have put up. And I've had to kind of remind myself that while it's great to have the sacramentals around, that's really an important piece, just like you both have shared. I was also, at one point, I had to say, okay, am I doing this because I want statues everywhere, or are they actually helping me to pray? Are they actually helping me to focus on Our Lady and Our Lord? But I was also thinking just about just the general cleanliness and orderliness of my home. And probably if I knew Our Lady was coming over, I would go home and pick up my socks and clean the counter. So I kind of went a different direction with this question.
That's actually a very good point, Michelle, because a lot of times the clutter within our homes can be a distraction from our spiritual life. We can also take, when we're doing our cleaning up, we can unite our labors with Mary to the cross. Very good point, Michelle.
The question that says, does she affect how you dress, speak, and act? How challenging is that in our culture today? It just challenges me as a mother, especially with three teenage daughters. And, you know, it's kind of easy when it's a church event, like you can be real, like those boundaries are there. Mm-hmm. But our family personally has swimmers, and, you know, they swim on swim teams and things like that. And that's been even more difficult because their uniform, per se, is a swimsuit. And, of course, what becomes kind of normal to wear, you know, some days my husband and I go, that isn't acceptable. And yeah, it's been energy consuming to kind of battle the culture and say, no, our daughter isn't going to wear that. You know, that suit has gotten too small. And these are things that it's just sometimes easier to say nothing. But right. what are we saying to those that we meet? And like I said, when you're raising children, it becomes very, very challenging as a parent to really want to raise kids that are dressed appropriately, speak appropriately, as we do ourselves.
And you're right, it is so hard in today's day and age. I consider my kids pretty modest kids. But there are still several times when the girls will come up with something on, I'm like, I don't think so. And they're looking at me, but Mom, and they're the modest kids in the school.
Because it's normal, Mary. It's normal. It's what they see, and they pick up the magazines and the shows and all that.
Absolutely. Let's move on to question number 4. In entrusting John to Mary, Jesus expected Mary to mother John as well as to entrust herself to his care and love. How will Mary mother you? She will be trusting you to care for her. What will you do to care for her?
Well, that's very thought-provoking. I never thought about caring for Mary. I think about, you know, have you ever had like a rosary break or a crucifix come off something? Mm-hmm. You know, we get a lot of those in the mail, and I have a cabinet because I don't, like, if anything breaks, I don't want to put it in the trash can. I've got a Our Lady of Guadalupe little plaque that my youngest dropped, and I haven't had a chance to glue it back, but I refuse to put it in the trash can. I think it's just there's something wrong with that.
Even Christmas cards.
Yeah, exactly.
Even Christmas cards with the image of our Lord or the Holy Family on it. It doesn't seem right. Well, you know, the solution is if it's burnable, we're supposed to burn it or bury it. We can bury him outside in the yard.
With St. Joseph when we sell our house, too, right?
Right. You know, speaking of St. Joseph, speaking of building your house and new houses, when we built the house, before I put the drywall up, I gave the kids markers. And I said, Guys, it's graffiti time. And they took all over our house. They wrote prayers on the walls.
They wrote,
this is the house of the Lord. Satan is not welcome here. So literally, underneath my drywall, every single room, every single wall has a prayer or a scripture passage or some type of a rebuke of Satan on our walls.
Wow. That's cool.
I've actually come home at times and had friends sitting in my house saying, your house is so peaceful. I needed a peaceful place to go. And I thought, I wonder why.
That's such a great idea, Mary. And if you have a priest that is, you know, maybe one that will come to your home, mm-hmm. it's really nice to have your house blessed. A friend of mine came and he blessed every window and every door and every opening that mm-hmm. there was in our house.
Mm-hmm. I've taken the Divine Mercy and I've hung it over the doorway coming into the main door of our house. Let's take a look back at the question. Another portion in this question says, how are we going to take care of Mary?
That's a really, really tough question to answer. Something I had never thought of before. I think that it's so easy going through this material. I'm thinking, you know, once you get past the fear of giving everything to her, it's easy to think about having a mother, a spiritual mother, someone that, you know, we can ask to just hold us, to wrap her mantle around us. But how do we care for her? One of the things I just think about is to trust her. So not physically caring, like providing food and things like that, but we care for her, I think, by trusting and loving her back. And that would warm her heart. You know, her heart is already burning for us. And that's really the only thing that crosses my mind is just to trust.
But if we take a moment, though, and think about our own parents, especially as they start aging, what is the one thing that they really want or really need the most from us? And that's just companionship. Mm. They just want to spend time with us. So really, what she needs from us is just to spend time with her in prayer, focusing on the rosary. Great way to start focusing mm-hmm. on the rosary and on the life of Christ. I like this portion of the question, too, and that is, how will Mary mother us?
Well, the other day, we were asked, how will we have reminders? How will we ask the Holy Spirit to remind us to, you know, ask Mary for help? That's the key, is that Mary is ready with just a boatload of graces for us, and she wants to mother us. We just have to remember to ask her. So how will she do it? Well, first, we have to say yes to her. That's really the first and biggest step, is just saying, have recourse to her, open up and remember that I'm not doing it on my own. I need to allow her to work in and through me, because she's bound to the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit continues to flourish in me as a daughter of God, then I most closely resemble Jesus' face to others.
Great discussions with Mary Beth and Michelle today. I want to remind everybody that we're just average people. We're not theologians. We don't contain any type of authority from the church. We're just some ladies getting together, having a visit and dialogue and pondering. We would love to hear input from you. If you have any thoughts or ideas that have come up, by all means, you can leave comments on the blog site at 33daystomorningglory.com. That's 33daystomorningglory.com, or on the podcast site. There's also a space where you can leave comments and have discussion after the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at St. Louis de Montfort, and this week things really start ramping up on Real Life Radio's Living Witnesses.
My garment stay, my veil covered with blood from the embrace, from receiving.
We are on the fourth and final section of our program for today, and we're going to take a look at St. Louis de Montfort's spirituality. And it starts to wrap up just a tad bit more here. We'll begin with the theme for the week, Knowledge of Jesus Christ. During this period, we shall apply ourselves to the study of Jesus Christ, what it is to be studied in Christ. First, the God-man, his grace and glory, then his right to sovereign dominion over us. Since after having renounced Satan and the world, we have taken Jesus Christ for our Lord, what next shall be the object of our study? his exterior actions and also his interior life, namely the virtues and acts of his Sacred Heart, his association with Mary in the mysteries of the Annunciation and Incarnation during his infancy and hidden life at the Feast of Cana and on Calvary. Next, we read from the book True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is paragraphs 61 and 62. If you'd like to read these, you can find them at fisheaters.com. Fisheaters.com has the whole book online. You can read it there. Once again, St. Louis de Montfort prayed the Litany of the Holy Ghost, followed by Ave Maria Stella. Let's ponder our first two questions while we listen to just a portion of that song today, because the final litany is a bit lengthy. Question number one, where does Jesus ask us to take Mary in? Think about your physical house, your inner house, and family relationships. How will Mary enter more deeply into these houses through your upcoming consecration? By your consecration, you're inviting her to move into all of those places. And question number two, think about the Holy Family. What did they talk about? How did they pray? What would you want to ask Joseph and Mary about how Jesus grew up? What insights might these answers give you into how you should act, work, and pray?
Star of ocean, God's own mother blessed, ever sinless virgin, gate of heavenly rest, taking that sweet Ave, which from Gabriel came, peace confirmed within us, changing Ava's name.
Number three reads, how do we take Mary into the physical house where we live? Does she affect the decor of your home? How you entertain guests? Does she affect how you dress, speak, and act towards others in your home? Write some new expectations for your home now that Mary lives here. And question number four, In entrusting John to Mary, Jesus expected Mary to mother John as well as to entrust herself to his care and love. How will Mary mother you? She will be trusting you to care for her. We are going to listen to the next prayer now put to song, and that is the Litany of the Holy Name of Jesus. This one's done in Latin, and it's been done by Pick Up Your Cross. I found this one on YouTube as well.
Credo in unum
Thank you.
Yeah.